Now, like it says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Now, in 2015, we are given many tools and many resources when it comes to technology in order to connect with friends and to connect with family members that are in different areas of the country, even the world. But just like every other thing that man has made that could be used for good, man and people have an impulse to use it for sinful things and for things that can cause people to sin. Now, what I'm going to be preaching about this morning is called the sinning on social media. Sinning on social media. Now, social media is not a sin. Facebook is not a sin. I've never been on MySpace, so I can't say for that. But I'll say this. Facebook, and namely, that's pretty much what I'm talking about, is sins that people do on Facebook that they normally wouldn't do in real life. But because people are a keyboard warrior, because they're sitting behind us, the safety of their computer screen, inside the walls of their own house, not standing in front of real people, they say and do things that they normally wouldn't do in real life. Now, that's what I'm going to talk about. Look at Ecclesiastes 3, verse number 1. Now, right off the bat, I'm going to say this. If you've had Facebook for a long time, I'm sure that everybody in here has probably violated and done one of these sins. That's just a fact. It's an easy trap. It's easy for us to get caught up in the wave of some of the things I'm going to be talking about. And probably even myself. I mean, I've had Facebook for 5 or 6 years or something. I don't remember how long. But this is something that can easily just snowball into doing some sin and doing something that could cause strife and cause your flesh to sin. Now look at verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There are certain times and certain things and seasons that we can do everything. There's a time for this, there's a time for that. Ecclesiastes 3 goes into that. Now go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. So the Bible talks about behaving yourself wisely in the house of God, in the church. It talks about behaving yourself wisely at your own house, behind your own walls. Okay? Now, Facebook and other forms of social media are things that can be used in such a way that if you're not wise and you don't behave yourself wisely in doing so and being on those type of things, you will end up in sin that would never normally happen if it was just you actually talking to a real life person in real life. Now, what are some of the sins of Facebook and some of the sins that you can get caught up in doing Facebook? Again, it's not a sin to be on Facebook. It's not a sin, but there are things that people do. We see them every day that people get caught up in that if they know these things, they can keep themselves and they can use Facebook and all these other social media outlets. What their purpose is for, to connect with other people and to see what other people are doing. Number one, I think the most obvious thing with Facebook is just wasting time. Whether it's YouTube, whether it's Facebook, whether it's, like I said again, I've never been on MySpace. I don't even know if anybody really uses that anymore. I think that's something that was before my time. But Facebook and all these different things, they're a waste of time. Look at Ephesians 5. Look at verse number 15. This is probably the most obvious out of all of them. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Circumspectly, that word means to be prudent, to be looking, to be watching. And the Bible says right there that you walk circumspectly, you walk with wisdom, you walked watching, you walked paying attention, not as fools, and redeeming the time because the days are evil. You're redeeming time because, let's face it, we only have 24 hours in a day. We don't have all this time to where we could sit around and waste time. I don't know anybody that's in here that's an adult that would not consider themselves busy people. Most people in here are very busy people, and we need to use the hours that we have while we're awake, and we need to use them for our benefit. By reading the Bible, by praying, by spending time with people that we love, by working, by doing and getting done the things that need to be getting done. Now, nowadays, Christians are not reading the Bible. They're not praying. I would venture to guess, and I don't know who, but there are some people in this room even that probably have no prayer life, that probably have not got on their knees and prayed in months or even years. No prayer life, zero. But they do, they're always on Facebook. They're always on YouTube. They're always doing things and reading things that have nothing to do with the things of God. They're wasting their time. Proverbs 31, verse 28. The Bible says, talking about, go in your Bibles to back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, people have a habit of doing and exposing and airing out their dirty laundry for all to see. So number one is just wasting your time. Now, actually, you know what? Go to Job 23. Go to Job 23. I skipped the whole page here. Go back to Job 23. The fact of the matter is we only have 24 hours in the day. We need to make sure that we're getting done what needs to be getting done. Now, this is what it comes down to. People have the wrong priorities in life. There are certain things that are more important. You know, I do construction. I do electrical work. I remember, though, when I used to do plumbing. And the guy that I worked for, we did new construction plumbing. Every single morning, he would get out this notebook, and he'd write down everything that needed to get done that day. And it'd be like 10 things. And then he would go through and number them from 1 to 10, 1 being of most importance and 10 being not that important. And he knew that every day he was not going to get done those 10 things. He knew it was impossible. So he would prioritize the things that needed to be, that were more important, and get those done first. And if he had time, then he can go and knock off number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9, and number 10. But nowadays we have our priorities backwards. Look, when you get up in the morning, the number one priority should be to read your Bible and pray, to have a walk with God. You know, Brother Stuckey was here a couple months ago. He preached a sermon about preparing, about preparation and praying, preparing for your day. And I've listened to that sermon like 4 or 5 times. Look, starting your day off with the Word of God and starting your day off with prayer is 100 million times more important than getting up, checking your Facebook, getting up and seeing what everybody else did last night. It's old news. Let's face it. If you stop looking at Facebook today and you just look at it in a week, it's the same people talking about the same things day in and day out. It's not very exciting. Now again, Facebook and checking your Facebook is not a sin. But if you are doing all this other stuff that's prioritized 6 through 10, and you're not doing 1, 2, and 3, you have a problem, and it goes with your priorities. Now, look at Job verse 23, verse number 12. I guarantee there are Christians all over the world, maybe even in here, that look at it, they like more posts, they check their Facebook more times than number of Bible verses they even read in a day. I mean, look, if all you're reading is your proverb of the day, that's not enough. Not at all. That's very little. That's only maybe 20 verses. But I guarantee there are people that are scrolling through and checking their Facebook dozens and dozens of times, and they're neglecting the Word of God. They're neglecting prayer. They're neglecting many, many things. And it's their priorities. Now look how Job, the Bible says that there was none like unto Job. Job was such a great man that when God was talking to Satan, he was bragging on Job. Job was like his trophy guy, like his guy that's like his main man. And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him. He is perfect. He feareth God. He escheweth evil. He was a great man. What made Job so great?" Look at verse number 12. "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips," talking about the Lord. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." He said, "I like the Bible more. I think the Bible is more important than the food I eat." Just like if you ever fasted and you went entire days without eating, you know that it don't take long before you start to get the headaches, before your stomach starts to rumble, before you start to feel fatigue mentally, physically. It's a draining process to go through a fast. That same thing he says, and he's likening it to food. He's saying, look, if I don't read my Bible, I know and I feel like something's missing with me. If I don't prioritize myself, he puts the Bible above his necessary food. Go to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Now, I'm not saying that looking at Facebook is wrong and sinful. I don't get me wrong. I'm right there where I said that. But however, if you're checking and reading dozens of things and you're looking at multiple things throughout the day, you lay your head down at night to go to bed and you have not read your Bible, you are not right with God. People say, well, I would love to go soul winning. I would love to read my Bible. I would love to pray. I would love to do all these things. I just don't have the time to sit down and read my Bible. But you have plenty of time to sit there and stare at your phone all day. Look, they have Bible apps. If you need to stare at your phone, get yourself a Bible app and you can stare at your phone reading the Bible. You say, well, it's just not that interesting. Well, guess what? Your heart ain't right. If you don't think this is interesting, look, you need to get on your knees and get right with God. Right. If you think this is more interesting than what some idiot is posting about Barack Obama or somebody else, look, it's the old stuff. Look, it's the same rehash garbage. If you've been like a follower of people, like let's say Pastor Anderson or somebody, if you notice in the YouTube comments, you'll have a wave of the same 4, 5, or 6 people posting and commenting. Every 6 months, it kind of filters out where now it's like a new 5 or 6 people just always commenting and always posting. Right? Isn't that truth? Do you know why? Because the people that comment and post, it gets boring because it's the same thing week in, and it's the same stupid arguments, it's the same strife, it's the same garbage, and people, even the people that are wrong that like to argue and strive, it even gets old to them where they just say, you know what, I'm not going to comment, I'm not going to get involved in these 1,200 comment threads over something that has nothing to do with me at all. Now, you would think that with all the technology that we have in 2015, people would be getting smarter and smarter. We got technology to help little kids learn. We have technology to help people that learn all sorts of things. Like, I mean, YouTube, we used to have a Dodge Caravan that used to break down like once a week. And I could almost build a Dodge Caravan from scratch because we worked on it so much. And it was just YouTubing it. Like, oh, this needs fixed. I'm going to YouTube it. I'd be watching the YouTube video, fixing the things. And that's how you know if you have a strong marriage. If you can work on your car with your wife and not kill each other, you know it's pretty good. You know what I mean? It's like building stuff with your wife. It's like, no, I'll just do it myself. No, you know, now, but the fact is people are becoming dumber the more technology. Amen. They're becoming stupider just as a whole. Why? Because the technology is not informing people. It's distracting people from what it's switching people's priorities all around. And it's making people that when used to be sitting down and reading a book, kids had imagination. The other day, maybe a couple of weeks ago, we pulled up on a job site. I do solar. And I pulled up, and in between these two houses, there was a boy that was probably like 9 or 10. And he was sitting behind like an air conditioning condenser. And he had like a couple of He-Man or a couple of G.I. Joes. You know, talking about the little action figures. They're not dolls. And he was like playing with them, and he was like making the sounds and stuff. And when we pulled up, and I saw what he was doing. I didn't want to like, you know, rain on his parade. So I was going to pretend like I didn't see him, you know. I'm up there trying to get working. Well, he realized that we're all right there. I don't know if he got embarrassed or whatever, but he put it all down and he ran in the backyard. And we kind of cramped his style. You know what I mean? Like he was probably in the zone where he was just imaginations were flying and he was tearing it up and this guy was shooting that guy or whatever the case may be. Look, little kids don't do that no more. You give some kids some little G.I. Joes, they won't even know what to do with them. They have no imagination. Everything has to be spoon-fed to them. They can't sit there in their head and read a book and get into the book and get lost in the book and get really focused and just where they can make it come alive anymore. They have to physically see it. The imagination of even kids' brains is going out the window, and it's because of technology. So number one, just wasting your time. Wasting time when there's other priorities. Look, you read your Bible every day, and you pray, and you do what you need to get done. Check your Facebook. Watch a YouTube video. As long as it's not nothing sinful, go ahead and do it. But if you're not getting done what needs to get done, you need to do that first. Prioritize your life. Number two, the sin that you can do through Facebook and social media is exposing dirty laundry. Now look at verse number 25, or chapter 25, verse number 9. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. Now this is the same verse that the guy, the Church of Christ tried to get me with. But it's a good verse, though, because when you read it in context, look at this. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he heareth it and put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. The Bible have a habit, our people have a habit of exposing other people and airing out their grievances with other people on Facebook. The Bible is clear. If I have a problem with Brother Ramos, I'm supposed to go to him. The Bible says that I should debate my cause with my neighbor himself. I go to him and we hash it out. That's what the Bible says. Go in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter, or go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. People, now, I have seen on Facebook. Now, this is it. I have a problem with him. I'm supposed to go to him directly and we're supposed to hash it out. I don't have a problem with him, and then I go on Facebook and I expose it to the entire world. That's not what we're supposed to do. That is a sin according to the Bible, according to Matthew 18, according to Proverbs 25, and according to elsewhere in the Bible. God has ways that if we want to fix the problem, we go about doing it. If we don't want to fix the problem, we want to throw gasoline on the fire and make it bigger, then yeah, go ahead and expose and expose people on Facebook and air out your dirty laundry. And look, and let me say this, you should never ever expose and air out dirty laundry, especially when it comes to people in your own house. I have seen people outing and exposing their own husbands, their own wives on Facebook. You know, their status, I'm feeling angry right now because my husband did this and that. Look, lady, you need to shut your mouth and keep what's private, private. Look, this is something that my old pastor told us when we first got married. And this is a great advice that I would give to every single other married couple. Is if me and my wife fight, I don't tell anybody else that we're fighting, that we have a problem. And he said this, do not tell your mom. Don't tell your dad that you're having problems, because this is what happens. We have a fight. I'm being a jerk. She goes and tells her mom and her dad about how much of a jerk I'm being. They get angry at me too, because they're going to side with their daughter. We get right. Everything's good. Everything's gravy. Everything's rainbows and stuff like that. Then mom and dad still know about how big of a jerk that I've been, because let's face it. Nobody ever goes to their mom and their dad or goes to their friends and talks about how big of a jerk they were being on how they had added to the cause. They always try to portray themselves as the victim. It's all their fault. Don't let them, you know, say, this person's the bad guy. I'm just angry. I'm mad. Look, take it to Jesus, my friend. Amen. If you can't, don't have anybody else to take it to, get on your knees, pray, take it to Jesus, and then take it to the person, your husband or your wife. And he said this, don't tell your mom and your dad about how your wife was doing this and doing that. Because they don't forget. They don't forgive. Then after years of you doing that, they're going to see your husband or your wife and they're going to say, yeah, he's a good guy. She's a good lady. But guess what? They're going to say, he's also got a bad side. He's also evil. And then it comes to the point to where if you guys have a big fight and you expose that, these worldly people out there that have no commitment, what are they going to say? Separate. Leave him. And it's because they're not going to look at it like one isolated incident. They're going to look at it as years and years of you having problems and having problems and having problems, and now this is just the straw that broke the camel's back, and they're going to be giving you the wrong advice. Now, where to have you go? Proverbs 31. The Bible is clear, though, when it comes to talking publicly about your wife, you should only be praising her. If you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. Look at verse number 28. Look at verse number 28. It says, Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. The Bible says that that a godly man, he is supposed to be praising and giving glory to his wife. If I'm going to talk publicly about my wife, it's only going to be to point out the good things that she's done. I'm not going to get on and expose all the flaws, to expose all the dirty laundry that we have in our marriage. And she's not going to do the same either, because that is not right. That's not what the Bible commands us to do. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Now, when it comes to marriage and when it comes inside your home, the place or the time to fight is inside the home. If you're going to have an argument, you keep the argument within your home. You say, how many people actually argue with their husbands and wives on Facebook and post these statuses? Many people I am not even, I only have like 300 friends on Facebook, which I don't think is that many because I'm real like picky. I don't just accept them all because I don't want to get flagged for something or have these people profanity and all this type of stuff on my page. But let me tell you this, I see it multiple times, and every time I see it, I always just private message the person and say, hey, that's not wise. Look, I seen what you said about your wife. I seen what you said about your husband. You should take that post down. That's not very good. You shouldn't be doing that. I give them a little explanation. I'm not trying to bash or rip. I don't want them to be doing something that's going to cause later on people to think badly about their husband or about their wife. Especially if one day they want their husband to be in ministry. Especially if one day they're going to be in ministry and they want people to respect and to look up to their wife and deem what their wife says as being wise. Amen. Look, every wise person has their times when they're not wise. Look at Solomon and all his wisdom, and he started marrying hundreds of wives. Hundreds. You think that was a good time to go to Solomon and ask him for marriage advice? No. No, it means this. Everybody, we all have our weak moments when we're walking in the flesh. The difference between somebody that's a good Christian or acting like a good Christian and somebody that's not is when you realize that you're acting in the flesh, not just acting out on what you feel and exposing everything. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I'll read it for you. You're in 1 Corinthians 6. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Look, it's time to grow up and start acting like an adult instead of, look, I'm mad at you and I'm going to tell everybody why I'm mad at you and I'm going to, you know, tell everybody why I'm so, you know, angry at my husband because he did this or he did that. And making your husband look like a fool, making your wife look like some witch in front of everybody, look, that's not godly. That's not Christian. That's not something we're supposed to do. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Right here, the Bible's saying that we shouldn't make strifes that we have inside of our church public for them to see. Okay? So let's say I back in, where I use Brother Ramos because he's here. People think we have this problems all the time. It's him. And then let's say I back into his car. I'll make myself the bad guy, okay? And say I back into his car and people see me. And then I didn't know it. I drive away. He comes to the next church service and says, hey, Pastor Romero, you backed into my car. You dented my bumper or whatever the case may be. It's going to cost $100 to fix. And I didn't see it. I said, you know, I don't think I did that. I go look at my van or whatever. It looks fine. I think, you know, I don't think I did it. And I disagree. And I get staunch about that where I'm not going to accept what I did as wrong. He would be in sin if he went to the cops, called the police, called and sued me in a court of law for that $100. You say, well, then what is he supposed to do? The Bible says, suffer yourselves to be defrauded. You should not take a strife or even a legal strife within the church to the people outside. That's a sin, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, this is just the house of God, behaving yourself in the house of God. How much more? If you have strife within your home, exposing it for all the world to see, especially, you know, just as posting about how, you know, bad your kids are or how bad your husband is or how bad your wife is. Look, if you are doing that, that is a sin. You need to take, you need to keep what's private, private. Amen. Period. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Says it covers them. Look, if you're going to be a loving person, if you really love your husband, if you love your wife, if you love your children, don't be exposing them for the faults that they have in their life. It's not good. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Now this is Facebook. Again, if there's sins that people would never normally do in real life. Can you imagine if I came to church and I had like a grumpy look. You know the little icon for like feeling angry? And I just had like the grumpy look. Hey, what's wrong, Pastor Romero? You look angry. You look like you're feeling angry. And I just said, you know, my wife, she didn't cook. She let all the kids eat the bacon. And I didn't get all the bacon. And then I started just explaining. And he'd be like, oh, okay. And then I started going, and then she started telling people how I leave my socks everywhere, and I can't pick up my clothes. Why are the guys laughing? And then, and all that type of stuff, and then, you know, And then because she got me back, I got to get her back even bigger, right? In real life, you'd be thinking, man, why do you even come here? You know what I mean? This guy, he's all messed up. He's just telling everybody. People would never normally do that in real life. But they can do it behind a keyboard because they can do it behind, they can put it out there on the internet. Look, this is something that somebody told my wife one time a long time ago, is never expose the faults of your children, even if they're little. Because once you put something on the internet, it's out there forever. It never comes back. And then later on in life, if they look back at what you said about them, you could hurt their feelings. You know, you can damage them mentally. You don't put stuff out there. You don't want people to know all the faults. Look, we all have faults. If we just publicly just exposed all of the... If every husband exposed his wife and every wife exposed their husband, look, nobody would be able to look anybody in the eyes around here. Right. We'd all be like, man, that guy, he is, you know, a dirty dude. You know, that lady over there, you know, she lets all the kids eat the bacon. I don't know what I'm saying. You know, I'm not bitter. It's okay. I'll get over it. I'll let it go. All right. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Number 2 is exposing dirty laundry. Don't expose dirty laundry in keep what's private, private. What happens in the church as far as strife between members, keep that private. What happens at home, keep that private. Don't be exposing the sins and flaws of other people. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 22. Strife and fighting, sins that happen on Facebook, on social media. Flee also youthful lusts. We talk about when I was a child, I spake as a child. Look, flee also youthful lust. Flee things that kids want to do, that teenagers have a habit of doing. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Talking about with the saved people. But avoid foolish and unlearned questions, avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Look at this. Verse number 24. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands because if I did, everybody in here should raise their hands. We are all the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are all in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're one of those guys that goes AWOL and doesn't fight, whether you're those guys that don't even know how to shoot a gun and you couldn't lead someone to the Lord if your life depended on it, or if you're one of the people that go out there and fight in battle, we're all the servants. We're all the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're a good one or a bad one. That's the way it is. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. People have this idea that it's their personal responsibility and it's their ministry to correct, argue, and strive and debate with every single person on every single thread when somebody posts something that they disagree with. Now, there are sometimes when people post things that, you know what, you might have to pipe up and say something that's, you know, hey, look, what you're doing is evil and wicked. You know what I mean? But let's face it, when people are just posting all sorts of stuff all the time, look, the best thing to do is, look, defriend. Look, I have no personal responsibility to be, and don't take this in the wrong way. I don't have to be any of your friends on Facebook, and you don't have to be mine. Okay? All right? Now, I'm going to put up with a lot, because the Bible talks about us being long-suffering. But that's the way it is. And we'll get to all that in a second. Now, people, and usually it's people that don't go to church, it's people that do no soul winning, it's people that who knows what they do in their personal life. If you just looked at their Facebook, you think they're this hardcore, fundamental Baptist Christian that goes out and wins thousands to the Lord. I mean, they are the second coming of the Apostle Paul. They are John the Baptist revisited. They are that prophet. But in their real life, more than likely, I would say this, I would be guessed to assume that even the people, if you're on the Facebook and the YouTube, you probably know that I can spot off names of people. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying this. Out of all this huge groups of people, this 100 people, I bet there are some people that are YouTubing and Facebooking and they're hypocrites with the big beam because they're probably sitting there drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette, smoking a joint, doing all these things, criticizing other people. Why? Because nobody can see what they're doing behind the screen. Right. They're sitting there probably, I venture to guess, drunk. Just debating people because they think it's fun. The Bible says as the servant of the Lord, we must not strive. Now, People think that they're hardcore and like they're just gung-ho because they get... Look, getting banned from Facebook for 3 days is not persecution. All right? It's not, oh man, I'm just being persecuted because I used the word faggot on Facebook and now everybody, they flag me. I just got out of Facebook jail. You know? But I was singing hymns. I was like Silas and Paul and I was singing hymns and I thought I was out for a month, but Jesus came through the wall and he rescued me. No, that's not persecution. Why are you laughing? People do it. They're laughing because they're people that do that. I'm just out of Facebook jail. Well, who cares? I don't care. You're not hardcore. You're not hardcore. Now, atheists aren't the only ones. I got this picture I seen of this guy. It says like atheist. And he's this guy that's got like literally eating like chips off his chest. And he's sitting behind a keyboard. And he's got all these pictures about like, it's like how many debates I've won. It's just like, you know, like all these things. And we think that only the atheists do that. Look, us as Christians have the same thing going on. We also have people that honestly, they feel like it's their ministry to just argue and debate with people on Facebook and YouTube. They go out to all these watered down, weak, false prophet. Just, look, they're going online and they're going to like, who's the butch-haired lady? What's her name?
Joyce Meyer.
Joyce Meyer. They're going on her Facebook page and debating with people. Look, the Bible says, let the filthy be filthy still. Let the unjust be unjust. Why are you going? The Bible said we must not strive. Nothing. Every single Facebook thread that comes about to where there's thousands or hundreds of Facebook of comments, there's never a point after a couple hundred comments that someone's like, you know, you're right. I change what I believe. I used to think that you had to repent and turn from all your sins, but now I understand that it's by faith. Never. That's why the Bible says he that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Because after two times, at that moment in their life, their heart is not ready to receive the word of God. It should only take a couple verses to change what somebody believes. After a couple verses, two, maybe even three, if you want to give them more than what the Bible says, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times arguing with them is not going to help anybody. When did Jesus argue with the Pharisees? Never. He rebuked them before all that others may fear. He never argued and debated back. It wasn't back and forth. When, you know, like I talk about this. When we're going to fight, if you got in a fight, you'd want to hit somebody one time and end it. One hitter, quitter. You're not trying to box and go back and forth. You want to end that thing quick. That's what Jesus did. When they said something to him, he just slammed them hard. Because he was trying to end it as quick as he could. He wasn't trying to debate, get drawn into this long discussion. He just went for the kill right off the bat because they were wicked and evil people. He knew that they were reprobate and that their hearts were hard and he wasn't going to convince them, so he just slammed them. That others may fear. But look, you're not Jesus, and Jesus, if he was alive on this earth, do you really think he'd be on Facebook debating with people? The Apostle Paul would be on Facebook debating with people over doctrine and just putting themselves out there. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Go to Matthew 25. Go to Matthew 25. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, most people that are on there that are the keyboard warriors, I always like to ask people that they like to just bash. They find a church that's salvation is by grace through faith. And look, maybe the pastor's a little watered down. Maybe he's a little bit of a watered down type of preacher. He's afraid to get up and just preach what the Bible says because he's just trying to build a big crowd. Whatever the case may be. They will bash those guys, those preachers, but they themselves do not even go to church. They have this huge beam, and they're looking at the mote in someone else's eyes. It's ridiculous. They're puffed up. They're prideful, and therefore, because they're full of pride, they're full of contention. They're full of strife. They just cannot help but argue and fight. And everything's negative all the time, and they have to let everybody know why what they're doing is right and why what other people are doing right. I have 300 friends on Facebook. I have family on Facebook. I got people that are there that totally don't believe like I believe, that totally don't believe the Bible, and they post things that I'm thinking, I'm shaking my head at it. But it's not my responsibility. It's not my ministry. This is our ministry right here, is the local church. And my ministry is at home with my wife and my children. My ministry is not on Facebook. to go out there and just chime in on every single debate. Look, there are people that literally spend all day in these threads. I'll check out and see this like 1,020, 1,200, and I'll look, and they have been. I don't know if these guys don't work. I don't know if these ladies don't do anything at home, but they are on it. Literally, they've been talking back and forth for 7, 8, 9 hours. What a stinking waste of time. And they probably have not opened up their Bible. They probably have not got on their knees in prayer. They probably have not memorized one Bible verse. They haven't done anything that actually gives glory to God. They're just debating. They're doing something the Bible says not to do. Now, I've noticed that people that frequent the huge Facebook and YouTube threads are people that don't go to church. And, I mean, you see the people argue and ask them, what church do you go to? Oh, I'm in between churches. They're just not a good church in my area. Then shut up and get in a good church.
Right.
They're not a good church. We got friends of ours from Oklahoma, and these people have went to church after church after church. They found one that's pretty decent. And you know what they do is they go there and just criticize it, right? No. They get involved. They're out there soul winning. They're out there supporting the pastor and all the things that they agree with. They're not just nitpicking and for the things that they're not. And then you know what? They're busy about the Lord's work, and they're not busy about getting involved in things that in other men's matters. They're not the people that are striving with all these people on YouTube. They're actually doing the Lord's work because they're busy people. So it's not just people that are in our type of church. Now, look at verse 23, Matthew 25, verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. People think that they're doing so much good by rebuking and duking it out on Facebook and YouTube that they are going to... Can you imagine these people? I don't know, do they think that like they're going to get up to heaven and God's going to be like, man, you spent your life on Facebook, you tore them guys up. All those posts, you shared all those videos so many times. You are a savage. You were in Facebook jail 10 times. I counted. He's up in heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know these people in real life are actually getting physically assaulted, and they're actually getting physically persecuted, and they're getting physically thrown in jail, and they're being physically sawn asunder, and they're being physically beheaded but you got put in Facebook jail. Wow. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful unto Facebook death till you're deleted and have to just come up with a whole nother name. Just use the same name in another thread. Wow. Really, just you're a bold believer. Now, go to in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 18. Go back to chapter 18. So we see that people just debating and arguing. Look, it's not a godly attribute. You're not a great Christian. Debating these topics with people that you knew firsthand didn't believe like you believed. Now again, there are some times when people post some... I seen something this week that this lady posted that was wicked and evil. And I seen somebody rebuke them, a couple people, and you know what? They were right to do so. Because they were using the Bible to justify their wicked sin. And you know what? Sometimes that does need to be. Somebody needs to say what you're doing is evil and wicked and nobody else is saying it, so I'm going to say it. But then that same person just, the friend, done with it. Why? Because they're not going to strive. They're not going to argue. It's not this contention. Because they have more to do with their life. Because they homeschool their kids. Because they're taking care of their family. Because they don't have time to sit there on Facebook and YouTube and post all day long. Look at Matthew 18. The next thing is backhanded comments and posts. Backhanded comments and post. Look at Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. This goes with Proverbs 25. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. And if he neglect to hear thee, post it on Facebook, and share it to every media site you possibly... Does it say that?
No.
No. It says, take it unto the church. Nowadays, people, the devil wants to detach your dependence on the local church. Let me say it. You must be dependent upon the church.
Right.
The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. If you see the signs of the times, the end of the world is coming, you know all that it's getting worse and worse. The Bible says more and more we should be in the church. If I have a problem with somebody in this church, and I tell them, and they disagree, and I take somebody else, and I say, hey, Brother Ramos was mean to me, and I take Brother James, and he made a mean face at me. You know, like the kids, they're like, he said, eh, to me. You know the kids, they do that. And I get Brother James, and I explain to him how mean he was towards me, and then he don't accept it. And if it's that bad to where I got two options at that point, I can personally just let it go and say, him making a mean face at me is not that big of a deal. Or two, I can, if I think it's that bad to where I can't live with it and I feel like I've been totally defrauded, then what I need to do is I need to bring it up in front of the entire church. If I backed into his car and I wouldn't pay the $100, he's got two options. He brings somebody with me and it's like, okay, well, they saw me. It's obvious I'm in the wrong. Now look, we'll just keep on. Look at verse number 17. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as an heathen man and a publican. If he says, I want to take it to the level that if he doesn't get it right, we're going to throw him out of the church like a heathen man and a publican. If he wants to take it to that level, he takes it to the level inside the church. But if he says, you know what, this guy, I think honestly, he doesn't think that he did it. I don't want the guy thrown out of church. I don't think that he means anything malicious. Then you know what? He has an option to just let himself be defrauded and not to take it any further, not get bitter, not get disgruntled, and just let it go. That's his option. Okay? Now, people say subtle and disrespectful comments knowing that people on the Facebook will see it. It happened just this week. It happens every week. People, and not even just on mine, it's on all around. They say things knowing that other people are watching, knowing that, you know, I'll say things to Jonathan that has nothing to do with him. I'll just say something knowing that it's, you know, about James over here, knowing that he's going to see it because I want to get him. It's a backhanded comment. It's saying something without saying something. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I never said that it was him, but he kind of did say that it was him that did this thing or whatever the case may be. Look, that's not what we're called to do. If you have strife, if you have a problem with somebody, you don't make backhanded comments. You go directly to the source, you hit it head on, or you be a Christian and you forgive and you move on. Unforgiveness, being unforgiving doesn't hurt the person that did you wrong. It only hurts yourself. You get bitter. I've heard it said that forgiveness is its own reward. If you forgive, it's just like the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you give, that's just a blessing to yourself. Even though you might be blessing someone else, the true blessing just comes from the act of being able to give. Forgiveness is the same way. If you forgive and you let it go, then the Bible talks about being prideful and being humble. You know, when there's two guys getting ready to fight, and the one guy says, you know what, it's not worth it, I'm going to walk away. I'm not scared, I know I can win, but I'm going to walk away. They don't call that being the smaller man, do they? They call that being the bigger man. Because even in Christianity, he that will exalt himself shall what? Be abased. And he that abaseth himself shall be exalted. When you humble yourself and make yourself smaller in your own sight, the opposite happens. You actually become the bigger man. The same thing can happen with strife. The absence of a like. Go in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs 18. The absence of the like, of hitting the like button on my pictures that I post, or on my cool post about, you know, fluoridated water, or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, okay? Now, people don't just get offended about what you say on Facebook and what you do. They get offended by what you don't do and what you don't say. Now, I have like 300 friends on Facebook, you know, but that's not really that many. People have like thousands and stuff, you know what I mean? And most of them I don't even know. And most of them don't even like, I don't even think that they're on it anymore. So it's really just like this cool number. It's like this inflated number. Now, people have this idea that if you don't like every single post of theirs, you either dislike it or that you don't like them. Personally, they take it personal, okay? Let me say this. when I do open up the Facebook and there's like the news feed, I only go down about maybe 5 stories or something, 10 stories. And there are things that I see that I like in real life. Like I think, oh, that's cool. That's a great picture. That's really neat that they're doing that. That's awesome. I wish I could do that. That's a great activity that they're doing. But sometimes I just don't feel like hitting the like button. It doesn't mean I don't really like it. And there are some things I see and I think, oh, that's cool. And I don't hit the like button. That doesn't mean that I'm thumbs downing it, that I don't like it. It just means that I didn't. And there's sometimes I just go guns a-blazing and I'm just liking everything. I don't know. I'm just like in a good mood. I'm just like, I like that too. You know what I'm just, it's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, and then I get off there. I'm in and out. You know what I mean? Real quick. But this is it. Don't get offended at people. And when people don't like your statuses. Now, do people do that, play the, hey, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Do people play childish games and, you know, liking things and then not liking things and purposefully, like, neglecting people just so that way they can get under their skin? Absolutely. I know it happens for a fact. It has to happen. But that should not be, you sure Christianity shouldn't be this deep to where you're so shallow that, and that you just are so offended by somebody not liking your stats. All it takes is for you just to be offended and disgruntled at somebody just because they didn't like your statuses. Look, if you can't handle it and you say, and you're just honest with yourself and say, you know what, I don't even want to deal with it, then get off the stupid thing. You don't have to be on it. I know many people that are like, you know what, I don't even want to deal with people's stuff. You know, I'm just going to not even do with it. And you know what? They survive. They're still alive. You know, they haven't been on Facebook for months, and guess what? They're fine. They're still serving God. They're still doing right. They're alive. Yeah. You know, people are like, what happened to you? I thought you were dead. No, they were enjoying life outside of Facebook. I saw a guy that said he got out of Facebook jail, and he's like, and it was like the best 3 days of my life, and then he's just been on it ever since. You know what I mean? Now, look at Proverbs 18. The next thing is the promotion of false doctrine and false news. Things that are not true, that are false. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. It's saying, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it. People will see a headline of a news video, a news clip, and they'll just reshare the whole thing. Not looking and figuring out if what they're posting is true. Well, it was on InfoWars. It must be true. Yeah, yeah, right. Alex Jones says it. It must be gospel truth. Arr. No, it's not gospel truth. Because Alex Jones, I'm almost weary when Alex Jones says it. Because guess what? Hey, he's media. He's the media. He's Brian Williams with the grumbly voice. You know what I mean? Brian Williams, he's just so respected. He said he was in Iraq when he wasn't even in Iraq. His chopper's being shot down. He said his chopper was being shot down. We were taken in gunfire, and it comes out. He lied about all these. Remember, who's the guy that used to be that got hit in the face with the chair by the Nazi? Geraldo Rivera? He was saying that he was in Iraq. He's like a phone conversation with the Fox or whoever it was. You know, we're taking gunfire and all this stuff. And then he was pictured the same day, like in Modesto, California. Like he was never in Afghanistan. He was lying. And people just forget it. Because people, you know, they'll repost things without even figuring out if they're whether they're true or not. Okay? People get swept away by every single new thing and by everything they hear about. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we, as Christians, henceforth be no more children. How does a lot of these verses have to do with being a child, being children, and growing up, and being an adult? That we be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The Bible says there are people that are tossed like children to and fro, and they believe every single thing that's posted because it's on the internet. If it's online, it must be true. If it's in the media, it must be true. Don't check it out. Just pass it along. Tell it if it's, hey, they said it, it must be true. I'm just going to tell the next guy blindly. I'm going to answer the matter before they hear it. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'll give you a couple good examples of things that I've seen pop up on the internet and people getting swept away by it purely because they don't look it up for themselves. They're taking what a YouTube video, they're taking some article that somebody wrote as gospel truth without looking in the Bible, without making their own judgment. Because look, you can make a YouTube video very convincing about any type of lie that you want to make. And you can make it extremely convincing. You could spout off math, you can spout off numbers, and nobody's going to take these numbers and calculate them for themselves and figure out if the numbers and if everything that's being said in the video is actually accurate. They just, oh, it sounds true. I'm just going to pass it along as truth. I'm just going to believe it. The Bible says the simple believeth every word. And we need to grow up, not be simple, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ecclesiastes 1. The flat earth. When did I do Ecclesiastes 1? How long ago was that? Last November? Something like that? It was actually my 13th week of being in the service because it was my second book of the Bible that I went through. Back then, it was sticking a stupid, ugly head up, and it's still sticking up its head up all over the internet, not in the Bible. I know this sounds, and there's people here that are going to be like, I can't believe you're saying this, but the world is a sphere. It's a ball. Okay? On this celestial ball. Okay? That song is not heresy. Right. It's the truth. Okay? look at Ecclesiastes 1, verse 5. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again according to its circuits. A circuit is not back and forth. I do electrical work. Let's say there's a light switch here on the wall, and let's say the power is over there. I need to make a circuit. It has to go in a circle. Right. I'm not sure about the etymology of the word, but I'm sure the word circle and the word circuit probably have the same type of origin. They sound very similar if they're not. A circuit is a circuit. The Bible says that the wind completes a circuit. A circuit is not, look, if I have one black wire and I put the power wire into here and the power wire into there, nothing turns on. You know why? Because from here to there is not a circuit. It has to go from here to there, pass around, make a circle, and go all the way back. Right. Or else that circuit is not complete and it doesn't work. The same thing applies with the wind. In the Bible, for it to be a circuit, it has to whirl it around. It doesn't go up to the top of your flat plate, bounce off, and come back down. That's not a circuit. In order for it to be a circuit, it has to whirl it about continually. Go to Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 22. I'll read for you Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Now, is a whale flat like a pancake? No, it's not. Okay? It's making sure. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Right. If the earth was flat like a pancake, there is no heart of it. Right. It don't make any sense. If the earth was flat like a piece of paper, and the middle, this is not the heart of the paper. The heart of it would be, if I balled it up, the very inside, that's the heart, because now it's a circle. Or even if it's like an oval. You know, I don't know any other. Right. I got the 9th grade. Now, look at that. So that verse would make no sense that Jesus was in the heart of the earth. The heart of an artichoke is in the middle of it. Okay? The heart of an avocado is the pit. Right. Now, it's funny that they call hell the bottomless pit, because it's in the middle. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, and stretcheth out of heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. You know what this is saying? That when God spake, it just happened. He did it like how we would just open up a curtain, how we would just do anything we wanted here on earth, physically speaking. That's how easy it was for God to create the earth. Even easier, just spoke it. Yeah. You know, like, remember the clapper? Yeah. Where people, you just, and then the lights come on, and then you clap again, and the lights go off? It was even easier for God. It'd be like if we could come in a room and say, lights on, and they just come on. But when I say lights on, He actually made the lights appear and created them with his word. The Bible says he sitteth upon the circle of the earth. You say, well, it doesn't say sphere. Well, I don't know if that the word circle, the word sphere was even invented. I'm not sure. I'm not going to pretend like I know, but let's face it. A sphere is a circle. It's round. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, you go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, I'm going to wrap it up. You say, what about when the Bible talks about the ends of the earth? That means things are going to fall off the ends of the earth because it's flat. They're going to fall right off the edge into outer space. Look, when I did my Ecclesiastes 1 sermon, I got on Travelocity, and I started in Japan, Tokyo, Japan, and I booked flights all the way around the world, only going east, and I ended up back in Japan. It would make it be impossible if the earth was flat and every single airplane pilot's in on this huge conspiracy, just millions and millions of people. You know, okay. I'm sure Alex Jones said, and NASA, I mean, everybody. Garmin. I mean, I got a friend of mine that lives in Arizona. He goes to the Faithful Word. And he actually works for Garmin. Larry Jordan. He works for Garmin. Like, he's like, I don't know, a real smart guy. He knows all these numbers and stuff. And he said that that GPS, he said it's ridiculous. It's stupid. Now, the Bible says, what about the ends of the earth? Genesis 1:10, and God called the dry lands earth, and the gathering of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. The ends of the earth just talks about meaning to the ends of the dry lands, from one end to the other. From the end of one dry land to the other. That's all it's talking about. It's not talking about the ends of the globe, the planet. It's talking about the ends of the earth, which is the dry land, which that's what he called them. Ephesians 5, next thing. Don't get swept away. Look, read the Bible. And anyways, even if the earth was flat, which it's not, how is that helping anybody? It's just not helping. It's ridiculous. You're not gonna, you know, win more people to Christ. You're not gonna, you know, be a better husband, be a better dad, be a better anything else because of that. This is number 5, and I'm not gonna skip it because it needs to be said. Posting vulgar pictures and post is a sin. It's wicked, and if you do it, I mean, defriended, and I'll understand that you probably have a perverted mind. You're a pervert. Okay? Now, look at Ephesians 5, verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Look, I know Miley Cyrus is a wicked whore. Amen. She's a prostitute. Okay? All right, Britney Spears is a hooker. Yeah. She sells her body for money. You don't have to post a picture of Miley Cyrus wearing next to nothing to prove to me that she's a tramp.
Right.
I already believe that. If you don't believe that and you need that picture to prove it, then you have your head in the sand. I don't want to open up a Facebook and have somebody that's supposed to be a Christian posting all sorts of lewd pictures. Why are they going around finding those pictures is what I want to know. How come that's always the same couple people that are posting those pictures all the time? And if you're on there, you know who these guys are. Why? Because of their heart. Because that's what they're looking for. Look, if your husband is posting those things on Facebook, you need to grab his phone and go through his phone. Period. And figure out what he's looking at in his spare time. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But nowadays, we can speak without our mouth. We speak with words on a typewriter, on a keyboard, on social media. If that's what they're looking at, if that's what they're posting, it's something that has to do with their heart. Look, that's pornography. They either post this picture of two men kissing. Look at sodomite marriage in whatever state. Look, don't post a picture of two men kissing. That's disgusting. That's filthy. That's vile. The Bible says that we shouldn't even speak of those things. We shouldn't even talk about it. It's disgusting. And then guess what? People are just posting pictures about it. It's gross. Go in your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Psalm 101:3. I won't do it to myself. You better not be doing it to me. Don't be setting those little landmines out there of pornography and filth. Because why? Because the Bible says it will cleave to you. You see it, you delete it, you turn it off, but it doesn't just go away. It stays in your head because that's what the Bible, that's what happens. Even if the Bible didn't say it, it's still the truth. Amen. I mean, how many times have you been somewhere last night, neighbors across, somewhere by our house, there's like a, there must be like a convention hall and they're playing music. And I remember, I told my wife, I said, I'm glad that I don't know any of the music that they're singing. Because one time they were having a party a couple doors down when we lived in Phoenix, and they were playing all sorts of rap music, and I knew it. I haven't listened to it in almost a decade. I knew every word. And the next day, guess what I had in my head? I had, you know, those songs going through my head. I couldn't get them out. You don't get them out. It's not just the ears. We cannot speak the things but what we have seen and heard. And if we see those things, the Bible says that they're going to cleave to us and they're going to be on our garment like filth. Look at verse number, Philippians 3, verse number 18. It says, "For many walk, as I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping." Now, the next sin is being proud of the sins that you commit. You committing sins and then being excited. You just want to show everybody how big of a drunk. You want to show a picture about how many bottles of beer you drank. You want to show everybody a picture about how good the bud is that you're smoking. You want to show people a picture about whatever the case may be as far as sin. And that's, look at verse number 18. "And now even tell you weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." The Bible says there are some people that glory in things they should be ashamed of. Posting things that are sinful. Go to Colossians chapter 4. This is the last place I'll have you go. Colossians 4. We'll wrap it up. Being proud of the sin in your life. Look, nobody thinks you're cool because, you know, of this, the stupidity that you're doing in your life. If there's something, if it's sinful, if you wouldn't just do it at like a church picnic, don't be posting it on Facebook. It's a sin. You're exposing yourself as a fool. Your little homies and your OG friends might think that you're pretty cool, but you know what? They're a bunch of idiots too. And you're just exposing yourself. You're glorying in the fact and something that the Bible says is shameful. Go to Colossians 4. Look at verse number 5. Let me get there myself. For it says, "Walk in wisdom," again, having wisdom, "toward them that are without, redeeming the time." Again, let's make good use of our time. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." It says right there, seasoned with salt. Why do we put salt on food? To make it taste better, right? The Bible says we should be speaking things that benefit and edify other people better. And you're not doing that when you're causing strife. You're not doing that when you're doing all the things and the things that you're doing in there. Seasoning things with salt. We should be, whether we're speaking in public, or we're typing on a keyboard, we should be doing things that bring glory to God, that are not exposing our family, and we should be trying to make other people better Christians by knowing this. People should say, you know what? By knowing you, I have been a better Christian. By even whether it's seeing your post, I know it sounds silly, or by knowing you in real life, they should say, you know what? Just by knowing you. Remember when Jacob was getting ready to leave Laban in Genesis chapter 30? He said, "I have known by experience," he told Jacob, "that the Lord hath blessed me for your sake." Laban knew that if Jacob leaves, the blessing of God was off of him because Jacob was such a great man that blessings flowed all around him. And that Laban actually just got to partake of that. Let it be the same way with you. Don't be this cloud of person that causes strife. Definitely don't be posting vulgar pictures. I don't know anybody in our church that does that. Not even one. Never even seen it. But you know what? Definitely take heed to that. Don't let other people do that to your stuff. And don't get swept away with all these different doctrines that just come across Facebook. Look, search out, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it." If you say, "Oh, I take that as gospel truth," without ever actually looking into it yourself, not by watching another YouTube video, but by reading the Bible, don't do that because it will be folly. It will be shame in the end. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the Bibles that we have today, Lord, and the access, the easy access we have to all these different forms of our, I guess, ways of being able to read the Word of God and hear the Word of God, whether it be in multiple books that we can buy cheaply, or whether we can look at our phone or listen to the Bible on our phone, Lord. Help us to use technology to our benefit, and help us not to do anything sinful with it. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.